Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540, the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT, Community Organization. Tonight's topic relationships gone wrong? What are the things that impact on and in relationships? And when I say relationship, I'm talking about an intimate or romantic relationship between a man and a woman. How can something so right go so wrong? First, I'd like to apologize for the technical difficulty we had last week. Apologies to all you callers, listeners, downloaders. I want to start off with Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. I thought, that's a hell of a statement when it comes to a relationship. You can't get any closer than that. Oneness. It's the ultimate union. Separate but one. That's how it goes. I wonder how many have actually achieved such a status of oneness, closeness, physically, emotionally, spiritually, culturally, in any other leagues out there. Anyway. Sex appears to be the consummation of this oneness. Forever appears to be the desired duration. There's a song by the Ebonies that stated a saying, forever, that's how long I'm going to love you. Forever's a long time. Forever is a long time. There are a million things that can happen between now and forever. Someone once sent me a plaque stating, life is full of complications, but communication is the key. Maybe sometimes we forget or lose our key. They say marriage is the highest form of commitment, admiration, love, relationship you can experience in an intimate relationship. That being said, why the high divorce rate and all the infidelity? A famed singer-songwriter, Donny Hathaway, Roberta Flack once said in a song, where is the love? Even in his beautiful song, infidelity was at its core. Oh, how I wish I never met you. I guess it must have been my fate to fall in love with someone else's lover. Blasey, blasey, you know, that's how it went. They say the same thing that made you happy can make you sad. It makes me wonder if love is a crazy thing or are we just crazy? This is the Jimenez Law Firm, but not so funny. They say marriage is the ultimate goal for most people, most couples. Unfortunately, getting married isn't always the fairy tale people hope it will be. Now, I didn't know marriage was supposed to be a fairy tale. Maybe I was sleeping in the back of the class when they taught that lesson. But anyway, while the divorce rate has dropped a bit, I'd say in the last 7 years, right? The best way to prevent divorce in your marriage is to learn how to communicate effectively. But even communication isn't always the answer. So why do so many marriages end in divorce? And who files for divorce more often? Well, divorce statistics in the United States say, while the numbers have declined, an astonishing 50% mark, an estimated 41% of first marriages still in divorce. So, that's good. It's not good, but it's better than it was before, right? From 50 to 41%, right? More frequent marriage, more for subsequent marriages, right? That's the second marriage. They said the number increases dramatically to 60% of second marriages and 73% of third marriage. I guess the more you get married, the less you're willing to take off somebody. I wonder if that's how it goes for relationships, too. Just a thought. They said when it comes to the divorce, uncontested of divorce will run you an average of $4,100. The total average cost of divorce is closer to $13,000. when completions arise, when complications arise, like child support or custody, child custody, that amounts well to $24,000. The best way to determine a more accurate cost for your divorce is to speak with a skilled and experienced divorce attorney. Ooh, I guess that's good advice for people who want to get married and maybe people who are, married and having some problems, right? Anyway, seems like it's cheaper to keep her. In some cases, cheaper to keep him. It's even cheaper to choose your mate wisely. That means all that communication and all that stuff, get all that done before you get legally bound by somebody. Anyway, the divorce rate by gender. They said nearly 70% of divorces are initiated by the wife. 50% of divorced wives never want to remarry. 30% of men express the same sentiment of never wanting to remarry. For both women and men, the average length of a first marriage that ends in divorce is just 8 years. So that's over the, I thought it was this thing called the 7-year itch. You get past that, you are right. But apparently, even that's not keeping marriages together 7 years. Anyway, when it comes to second marriages, in divorce, women are less likely to stick around as long as their male counterparts. So women, for the second time around, once they get bit, they sound like they kind of shaky. But there are some women who stick around and some women who stick around for some extraordinary stuff too. And some get through it, right? Because it's not 100%. When it comes to same-sex divorce, female couples make up the majority, coming in at 70% of same-sex divorce. So it appears, going by this survey, it appears that the woman may have the quickest and the sharpest blade when it comes to cutting someone loose, no matter what kind of relationship they are in, right? Why women are much more likely than men to initiate divorce. One theory is that as women continue to gain their own independence, they aren't as reliant on their husband. Right? The old standard, the man take care of the family. He goes out, get the bread, comes back. The woman got the household, she controls the house and the kids. And the man go out and make sure they have a house and they bring that food back, the money back to the house. And, the woman manages everything. So that's not a bad thing. It's only bad if you don't want it. That doesn't fit your ideology or how you want to live, right? While they previously may have felt that they had no choice but to tolerate a less than ideal marriage. And I don't know what an ideal marriage is, because I think that might be something that can go by an individual. But he's talking about an ideal marriage here. Now they have more of a choice. They can pursue their career, financial independence, and partner that is a better fit for them, right? That's what you should be doing anyway. I thought that's why you got married, but who am I, right? Or they may choose not to remarry and simply enjoy life on their own terms. Okay, that makes sense. Enjoy life on your own terms. People who are financially dependent on their man tolerate more because they don't have the finances to support a move out of the dependent relationship. Because if the woman is the homemaker, which is a powerful position, you have the lives of other people you're responsible for, the children. So I guess that's a show on its own, if that's even a valuable position nowadays. It seems like it's not. I'm going to go ahead and go on with the show anyway. This might be a complication for some people, right? So you are separated if you are not together in or out of the home, right? So it doesn't matter if you actually leave. You can be separated in the home, right? So be careful not to assume that the less then ideal marriage experience could be a shared experience. So I don't know if this fairy tale stuff is all about being married. I never got that part. I know the wedding scene, very fairy tale-ish. These weddings these people have, it's like, you know, you know, all this money for you. You put that money in the house, car you might need to get to work, something. You know, that may be about to have, but that's what people do. I don't know if they're emulating people who are wealthier or whatever. I mean, but that's not what everybody does. Because I've been to the Justice of the Peace marriages too, and I think the court marriages marry people too. So, but the biggest, you know, extravagant marriages, I guess they're kind of fairy tale-ish, and maybe the female has a fairy tale like thing on her mind. I don't know. I don't claim to know what people have on their minds all the time, but I do take guesses. Realistic expectations might be helpful. Premarital negotiations and determination is a must. Don't be afraid to ask the hard questions. Don't be afraid to make the hard decisions. So it's a lot of work that, to me, seems like need to be done before people get married. You know, especially dealing with this fairy tale thing. Who wants to live a fairy tale life? I don't. It's not real. Reasons why women initiate divorce more often than men. Three major reasons, say. Women are more likely to feel held back by marriage. I thought two was greater than one, but here we go. We have women feel held back by marriage. It's not uncommon for women these days to feel like they have the world on their shoulders. They're trying to do their best balancing child rearing, housework, cooking, and being a good partner while working a full-time or part-time job, right? So women make up more than half of the workforce. In many relationships, they are also the ones viewed as primarily responsible for household domestic responsibilities. Men do help out their wives with the chores and caring for children. It is statistically proven that the traditional views of marriage are well behind the times when it comes to gender expectations. So I don't know what that's all supposed to mean, because I think that we all exist and we have this word I call function. So in survival, so we're trying to survive and function in improve our quality of life and survival. So even if women don't feel this pressure from their husband, there's a good chance they feel it from other people in their lives and the society around them. So without a man, women will need to perform the cultural role of the woman, clean their homes, care for children, and perform the cultural roles of the male, be the primary economic resource, perform so-called work tasks, culturally reserved for men, like plumbing, carpentry, painting, remodeling, and defending, right? Even though those are not necessarily things that a woman can't do, because even if a man is present in the house, a woman is going to defend her children, but we all see that it's not the strongest defense, you know. If she has a gun, that's a pretty strong defense. Or pay someone to do one or both. It is the responsibility of both parties to rear children, clean home. It is a luxury for a woman not to be culturally assigned the responsibilities that are perceived as male. Do what works for your family, right? Because, I mean, it seems like guys are trying to take on the hard work, you know, and let the woman, you know, do other things. You know, you don't have to pick this up. You don't got to paint. You ain't got to, you know, tear nothing down. Even though there are women that do that, right? There are always exceptions to the rule. Fact is, the more you know, the more you are capable of doing. Two people acting as one act in unity, right? That's all. Unity is a sense of one. It's another word for oneness, right? Sameness. We're together, right? That unity should support the culture of the home and environment. It's called co-parenting. If she's tired, he kicks in. If he needs someone to hand him a hammer, she kicks in. And when the kids get older, they help. Communication and cooperation is important. A person who values their career over their children should not have children. A person who values their career over their marriage should not be married. Work is a cruel master. and it's not family friendly. A family that doesn't work together doesn't work. Women often take more of the emotional burden. This is back from the author. Women also tend to take more of the emotional burden. This is a side effect of the society we built where men are generally expected not to show emotion. I don't really get this part right here. They are less likely to seek professional help when needed. So men love their wives and children too. This is a provocative thought. Some fathers work two jobs and still make time to engage their family. Some mothers work also. Both can be emotionally vested in their family. If my mother and father had been some crybaby, scary, vulnerable person, I would have been afraid to come off the porch in the hood. Emotional toughness has a purpose, a function, and it doesn't make you less emotionally sensitive in the family unit. My father and mother communicated well, and they never lost their key, as in communication is the key. Men love their children and women too. Women have a special connection to children because they carry them for 9 months and give birth to them. That does not mean that men love children less. Men don't process their emotions, but women do. What kind of science supports that? Not showing emotion does not mean that you do not feel. It means that you cannot see an outward expression of a person's emotions. Let's not pretend that men don't show emotions when they are happy, sad, angry, confused, hurt, or whatever. Remember, men are expected to lead and protect. That is difficult to do if you are always crying or mentally trashed by something that occurred. I noticed that people have one emotion people don't have a problem identifying with men is anger. Men get knocked for expressing anger. Anger can be a catalyst for violence, especially when other factors come into play, like pride, media or public exposure, strong or extreme social emotional bond, or connection is interrupted or impaired. He is disrespected, betrayed, wronged, or threatened in some way. Newsflash, women are very capable of the same emotional expression. Anger is not exclusively a male emotion. Anger is an emotion just as laughter is an emotion. The question is, when are men supposed to show emotion and they don't? What emotion are men holding back? My friend stated, men keep things to themselves instead of seeking support outside of themselves. Not every problem requires professional assistance or public declaration or expression of emotions. Yes, some people can take a hit below the waist and finish the fight. This mental emotional toughness is particularly men and some women develop over the years. An emotional moment can be a vulnerable moment that a person is simply not willing to share or have exploited. Truth be told, we don't really know who cries, when, or how, or even if they need to cry. I'm getting the feeling that someone somewhere thinks that men should cry more. Men and emotions, the importance of becoming vulnerable. The word vulnerable, I'm kind of thinking that's not a good word to be vulnerable. But here they're saying vulnerable is good. It's important to be vulnerable. And I'm going to go on record as disagreeing with being vulnerable, period. Anyway, because you shouldn't have, if you're a person you're close to, you shouldn't be vulnerable by revealing anything about yourself to them. So, you know, if that's your ace, you're not being vulnerable. Right. So research shows that men experience emotions at the same level as that women do. That's what the research says. Right. But it's not socially acceptable for a man to cry when he's sad. It can make it seem like men don't experience sadness at all, but you got to be not the sharpest knife in the kitchen to think that because a man, you didn't see somebody cry, therefore he doesn't feel sad or he doesn't have emotion. Crying is not the only emotion. who is it that wants to see men cry and cry over just what? Like, no, get over it. There's a lot of women not crying these days. Check yourself. And if some people is crying, they're doing some crazy stuff. Anyway, sounds like someone wants to see men cry, and if they don't, they assume that they're hiding emotions. No, they just are not crying. What about the facts? That person is not crying. Not hiding anything. That is not very scientific. You don't have to cry when you are sad to be sad. Crying is not the only expression of sadness, and being sad does not mean that you have to cry. Who made this? Where are they getting this? Person needs help. It's appropriate for them to seek help when they need it, when they think they need it. Some people tough it out. Women no longer tolerate consistent, unacceptable behavior. Now, this sounds like the old this thing where once they felt they had no choice but to tolerate unacceptable behavior because they were, dependent on the man, right? So I'm a husband. He's staying out late at night. He has some lipstick on his collar. Some other chicks. Something, said it was a girl from work. He gave a ride home, left it in the car, just coming up. They would tolerate. Just, I guess that's what that's about. You know, a long time ago, women would tolerate all of that kind of stuff out with the boys late at night and all that stuff. They ain't tolerating that now, I guess. They saying, hey, I don't got to be here, right? So anyway, they said they wanted to say women are no longer willing to put up with being mistreated, abused, or infidelity. That's the infidelity part I was just talking about, right? Possible infidelity. Mistreated, I guess that's to be talking rude to her all the time, not looking out for the cookout. Abuse, that could be anything from verbal, financially abusing, giving her what she needs to take care of herself. Or you might put your hands on her, which that's never good. That's never going to have a happy ending. Or infidelity. That's stepping out, right? So, because they are now in a situation that they are better able to earn money to move. They said, if you had the money to get out of the situation, if that money was holding you there through abuse and being mistreated, abused, and infidelity, you stay because you don't have the financial strength to move. So now they do because they're in the workforce, right? So that makes a lot of sense to leave that situation. They said this is especially true for college-educated women who feel financially secure, right? So women have taken on traditionally male roles in the workforce, even becoming the breadwinner in some families. Such economic power facilitates economic independence. Economic independence represents power. Work becomes more valuable than parenting. In fact, parenting, which has no monetary value, can become an impairment to gainful employment or a career. This must be some old research because a woman is as capable as a man of mistreating, abusing, or infidelity in a relationship. But I'm going to take that back because that guy, but maybe he was just being specific about women. So that doesn't make his research old. It's just not inclusive of men. But leave if you have to. You're in a type of situation, get on your horse or whatever. Get in your car, whatever you got to do. Anyway, these guys at Jimenez Law Firm, they want you to call them if you have a problem. At 214-513-0125. Learn more about your options. From SAS for Women, here are seven reasons why women initiate divorce more often than men. Women have high and complex expectations about marriage, and those get dashed. See, if you talk about it before you do it, right, you like to put your hand in the water before you get in the tub, but you should do the same thing with a marriage, right? Test the temperature, see what you're getting into. Anyway, she expects a relationship with shared responsibility. She's making a contribution to the family that was once the sole responsibility of the husband. right? If she's working, I'm working, I come home, take care of these kids. Well, guess what? Whoever gets home first got to take care of them kids, right? Anyway, they want emotional intimacy, communication, personal growth, and shared responsibility. That was very interesting right there. For that. Why did you get married if you didn't have that right there? Anyway, when marriage starts to feel more like a wash, rinse, repeat than the promised pursuit of dreams, disenchantment can creep in and take over. Wash, rinse, repeat. This is all we do. We go to work. We come home. We eat dinner. We go to sleep. We wake up. We go to work. We come home. We eat dinner. We shop. So they're saying it. That sounds like they're saying it's boring. Anyway, share responsibility. Women want shared responsibility. So I'm just looking at the cultural responsibility of a man, expectation of a man. Does that mean that if a man grabs her butt cheeks, she handles that man herself? Or if someone breaks into the house, she goes to see if someone trespassed in the house? Or maybe she lifts that 50-pound package instead. I'm just asking. Maybe our idea of marriage is unrealistic, and we are, or our marriage is therefore doomed by our misconception or delusion of the marriage union. It is not a dream. You wake up from dreams. Marriage is a real life experience that couples deal with together, hopefully. I guess respect, loyalty, dedication, and love are low, simple, and insignificant expectations about marriage. Equality isn't all that equal, they say. Despite working outside the home just like their husbands, married women still do the majority of child care and housework. While blazing new trails in the world at large, they are finding themselves stuck in traditional expectations at home. Okay, so this is clearly people who have not communicated with each other. So, the question is, due to obvious biological differences and abilities, women are initially the dominant primary caretakers of children, right? Women give birth and breastfeed children. So it kind of makes sense for them to be home. Now, maybe that is where the idea that the woman traditionally dominates child rearing and the home came from. Maybe it just came from that natural biological function. Well, you home with the kids, I'm going to go out and get this paper, right? The man is expected to provide shelter and food for the family. That formula works for some women and not for others. Parenting appears to have become a luxury or a barrier nowadays as both men and women are forced or choose to be in the workforce. The creation of another form of employment fostering parenting is produced called daycare, right? And infant supply industry, feeding, freeing the mother from her natural responsibility of breastfeeding and weaning a child. So we have these things that support getting people out of the home and getting them to work. EDD.ca.gov. Maternity leave was primarily given to women. Okay, that's not equal treatment, right? But maternity leave was primarily given to women. Paid family leave for mothers, right? So if you talk about equality, you know, I think that nowadays that is provided for men. Women are still emotional, still the emotional caregivers. That's about who you are. So I don't even know, but it sounds. Some things like women's proclivity for emotional expression and intuition are a reflection of natural traits, but neither gender has a corner on the market of any natural leaning, especially when choice and effort can enrich it. And yet, when it comes to being sensitive and responsive to the emotional needs of the family, the expectation still usually falls to the wife or mother. I don't know about that. I don't know what family is looking at. So That's what they said in the thing. So I'm not arguing with it. That's what he came out with his thing. So women are more inclined to reach out for support. Perhaps it's because they have so much on their plate and always have, that women have a knack for building community. Compared to men, they are far more likely to reach out for support. Now, that might be true because the guys are usually trying to do that itself. But nowadays, anybody reaches out for support. You got the computer. You can reach out yourself. Do the same thing some of these workers are doing for you. Just use what's in front of you. Don't be playing all that music, that crazy music, crazy videos. Use those electronic devices to help you and your family, right? Women are getting more educated, as I said, right? They said women are now the leading graduation, are now leading the graduation rates for both undergraduate and graduate degrees. The college-educated women initiate 90% of divorce of the time. So what are they? What's going on when they go to college? They feel like, I don't need it. That's what they're getting, I don't need a man attitude from, compared to 69% of women overall. So I don't know what they mean by I don't need a man. This guy's not saying that. I'm just asking because it sounds like, you know, people, you know, this only says that I have the money to leave you anytime I want to because I have my own job. I have my own money, which ain't bad. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Take your own job, your own money, and you roll, but you don't take that guy's money. And if you're trying to take his money, then you're playing both sides. That's not equal. You use your money, go, and that guy stop dragging people to court. But I don't know. It sounds like I'm hearing a cake and eat it too kind of scenario for some people. I'm going to go ahead. These roles from provocative. So these roles or opportunities were once largely male, which afforded males the ability to become the breadwinners of the family. Now women are getting a larger piece of the economic loaf. Fact is, women are becoming less financially dependent on men in relationships. It's a good thing. This also implies that some women marry for financial benefit and stability. That's a bad thing. This may supersede love and physical and personality attraction. Is there a law that states you have to love the person you marry? I don't think there is. Women have more opportunity today. We just talked about that. Misguided theories, restrictive laws, and male-dominated societies have all conspired to build walls that women are still breaking down. Opportunities and glimpses of equality that women in America had, right? Basically, I guess this is just blah, blah, blah about the patriarchal system. Look, it just said that women is making up most of the college graduates and the undergraduate and graduate degrees. So they moving on up, as Jefferson says, right? So a lot of people are still trying to break out in this country. Remember those folks, they had slaves in here. They still trying to break out too. So anyway. Equal opportunity to what men do right and wrong. Is that equal opportunity? Is equal opportunity to what men do right and wrong. It is never an opportunity to do wrong, even when men do so. Opportunity has a positive outcome unless the opportunity you seek is a negative outcome. Male-dominated societies tend to hold the woman to a higher standard, while at the same time men attempt to spoil every woman. I had to say that. That may be an exaggeration, but the point is, it appears men want their cake and eat it too, right? The reality appears to be that some women want their cake and eat it too. They want to compete on the job market and be cared for, pampered, and whatever comes with that sort of thing. They said that there is someone out there for everyone. Good luck finding them. Holding women to a higher standard is like ascribing all moral ethical qualities to the woman, crowning her as the moral ethical being. Maybe that crown is like a crown of thorns to some women who are crucified for their failure to maintain that very same standard. That makes the woman a man's kryptonite. If you enter a verbal contract with someone, you should honor it. But if you cannot honor it, do not enter into a verbal contract promising something that you cannot deliver, like a dreamlike relationship. Remember, some dreams are nightmares. We should also be aware that if a person is attracted to you, they can be attracted to someone else. It's a fact. They can be very attracted to someone else. Not everyone acts or pursues people they are attracted to. But, excuse me, got a little tickle. Sometimes restraint is out the window when opportunity kicks in the dough. Like it or not, it happens for whatever reason, and there are many reasons. On the flip side, if women want equal opportunity, they should want to be drafted for war, be the dominant provider in the family system, work while the man stays at home with the children. Men have been doing it traditionally for some time. Pursue a man's relationship, take him out, pay the bill, be the primary protector of the family or relationship, all without shaming the man in the relationship. Had to say that too. My advice is to take what is best and good about male and female roles and expectations that you can use without compromising who and what you are, and disregard what you cannot use. We are not the same. Not every man, not every woman, not the man and the woman. We will never be equal or the same because we are not equal or the same. Embrace your differences. Know that they make you unique and truly amazing. Together, two make one. Number seven. Women often have nothing more to lose. This goes back to the if a woman is being repressed, mistreated, abused, or neglected in the marriage, right? So leaving an abusive relationship is not cheating. It is saving yourself. Then there is that promise you made that you can no longer keep because your spouse has violated their contract and you. If it is not safe to work it out, getting out sounds like the only choice you had. No one gets married to be repressed, mistreated, abused, or neglected. No one should get married to repress, mistreat, abuse, or neglect someone. What do I know? The scriptures say you should not be unevenly yoked. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? So you got to get together, right? Don't be unevenly yoked under the, who you are as a human being. So that's what they're saying. Under God, right? Here. This is the Bible. Just use it as an example. I know everybody's not Christian. But it's still a point right there. So you got to get like-mindedness. Y'all have a better chance of avoiding some of this nonsense that's going on. I'm not saying, hey, man, I don't know if it's nonsense or not. But here the scriptures say you should both be of the same faith, not opposite of opposing faiths. Conflict does not make a good wife or husband. It will corrupt you. It will corrupt your relationship, conflict. So you got a lot of work to do figuring things out. You got to ask the hard questions, the things you might not want to ask nobody. You know, you might be afraid to ask. Do men and women cheat with different for different reasons? They say yes. Let's go and see on what particularly makes women stray. Cheating is the ultimate betrayal and a leading reason for divorce. So we got women leading the charge for divorce. So I'm thinking that cheating must be a large part of why the women. You know, I don't want to deal with you anymore. So, well, a long time ago, she might tolerate that because she had no way to go. She's like, man, I don't have two quarters of the world together. I can't even leave. My family's in another state. I'm married to this guy. He brought me out here, and he running around with everybody except me. I get it. Anyway, even though the idea of men cheating on their wives is so commonplace, they said, that there are tropes about it, right? Like the whole midlife crisis upgrading to my younger chick, right? A younger woman. Don Draper's entire persona. It doesn't, I don't know who that is. I didn't look that up. It doesn't mean women always remain faithful. It just means we don't talk about it. So women are, I heard that as women say they're better at cheating than men. They say men are stupid. Maybe they are. I don't know. Maybe they are slicker. But I tell you what, I've seen that show. What's that show called? What's that Murray somebody, but the dude be going through all that, who baby it is. It comes out in the wash. That's all I'm going to say. It can come out in the wash. Or should I say the DNA? There are reasons for that, including the fact that up until recently, most women weren't in a financial, social position to risk blowing up their marriages, right? So they said 13 to 50% of women admit to cheating on their spouses compared to about 20 to 25% of men. Why people cheat? The answer is mixed, like meeting an attractive person unexpectedly and shocking. So how does that go? Because there's a lot of good-looking people out here. So are we that? I'm going to keep going. Who cheats more, men or women? In 2018 and 2019, 20% of men admitted to having sex with someone other than their spouse while they were married, compared to 13% of women. I don't know about you, but that's not a great difference. It is less, but it's not great, right? However, the gender divides seem to expand with age. In 2010, the study found that 12.9% of women ages 18 to 24 reported cheating on their spouses compared to 15.9% of men in that age range. So that means that the younger ones, they really get, they play musical chairs a lot, right? Beds or whatever. But among people 65 and older, women are less than half as likely as men to report that they have ever cheated. 9.5 versus 25%, meaning women seem less likely to cheat as they get older. Well, I don't know about that, because you said report. Report means to reveal. So if then that's just, that sounds to me like they're just less likely to reveal. But they say less likely to cheat as they get older. So if they're less likely to cheat as they get older, so how come women less likely than men to report that they cheat when they get older, or women less likely, women reported that they don't cheat? And it's different. But that's my difference in reading how they wrote this thing. I don't know. He might have meant something else by it, right? Are older women less likely to cheat because they have fewer or less options due to aging and the younger competition? Just a question. I had to say that, put it out there. Maybe everybody, have a, because, they're talking about women start to get old. What's the age? Cause I heard the age they was talking about, it was pretty young to me. Because, like, they was talking about, I'm in the 30s, like, over the hill because of the baby thing. 40 is like, like she's getting old or something like that. It's not an old woman, 40 years old, but I don't know. But I guess essentially they always put these 20 of these late teens and 20-year-olds on these magazines. That would give everybody the impression that anybody 30 and over is old. Anyway, in April 13, 2023, U.S. life expectancy declined to 74 years of age. It was the shortest it's been in nearly two decades. How come? How is that we're supposed to be so advanced and the life expectancy is shorter? It's almost like somebody wants you to die. Don't want you to stick around too long, right? So So when you're non-productive, right, 76, a lot of people retired, you know, and so they might be perceived as non-productive. That's another show, though. I'm gonna keep moving. Anyway, I say in 2021, 71% of men think cheating is always wrong. 71% of men think cheating is always wrong, compared to 65% of women. What up with that? On the flip side, only 1.4% of women thought cheating on your spouse is not wrong at all, compared to 2.3% of men. So, no, women don't cheat more than men, but their attitude towards infidelity might be more nuanced. Right? They have reasons. It's just, you know. But I thought about that. And I said, well, if they don't think that cheating is wrong, why do they call it cheating? So the cheat means to act dishonestly, unfairly, to gain advantage, infidelity. So it has a negative connotation. Act of being unfaithful, engaging in a sexual or romantic relation with a person other than one significant other, breaking a commitment act. You see people breaking their promises and commitments, that's viewed as a negative thing, right? So if you cheat in sports, you get disqualified, thrown out of the game, right? So that was the definition of cheat from the definition of dictionary. So cheating is negative, not positive. So if you don't think that anything is wrong with something that's negative, being negative, there lies the problem. Why do women cheat again? They said affairs could be boiled down to four types: empowering affairs, cheat, sex-driven affairs, love affairs, and self-esteem affairs. I'm going to admit some of that's very, very confusing to me. But as I always say, I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen. Sex-driven affair is like it sounds, purely done for physical reasons. You marry, you're just going to bust it up with somebody else. I guess that's that thing you saw somebody you're attracted to. Bam. Bust it up right now. Love affair. You did not set out to cheat on their spouses, but happened to fall in love with someone and they start smashing. Self-esteem affair. Partner wasn't making them feel valued, appreciated, or loved. So somebody else makes them feel valued and appreciated. I'm smashing them. So I don't really get that part right there. So, because you can feel valued and appreciated without smashing your kids. You don't smash your kids, they're valued and appreciated. You don't smash your parents, they're valued and appreciated. So you get my point. With sex-driven affairs, that's okay. People got that kind of sexual energy, that's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Love affair, hey, usually people who love each other have sex, right? Empowering affairs. This is another one I just didn't get. Some just wanted to be able to experience the same kind of sexual freedom often afforded to men. I don't see how sex can be empowering. Women are just desperate for autonomy over their own bodies. So if you don't have that, that means you're being raped. Supreme Court striking down the federal abortion protections and women becoming mothers and literally having to share their bodies with another being. She says, I think a lot of these women chose to have affairs just to exert that autonomy and that control over their bodies for the first time in a while. I'm going to go on and say that's goofy right there. That's very goofy. That is crazy. Now, you're not having sex just to show you have autonomy over your body. That makes no sense. And over somebody's saying you can't have abortion and stuff like that. You're having sex because you just want to have sex. Anyway, autonomy is about a person's ability to act out his or own values and interests. That could sound narcissistic because the world does not revolve around an individual's personal values and interests, because we interact with the personal, cultural, or religious values of the people we come in contact with. One might question why someone's values are held over above another's value, be it a group or an individual. Women and men have always had free will or autonomy. Just who do we think that men are having these empowering sexual experiences with? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, women are trying to exercise autonomy. If the men are screwing these women, those women that they are screwing are exercising the same autonomy the men are. But I guess they're just turning a blind eye to that. Infidelity is as old as mankind. And if sex out of wedlock was not commonplace, there would not be commandments, ordinances, laws, norms that dictate the appropriateness of sexual interaction. Men and women are free to break all of the commandments, ordinances, laws, norms that dictate appropriateness of sexual interaction, but they will be subjected to those who hold them to a standard of sexual behavior. Find that out when you get serious with somebody. You start asking questions. How many people you been with? Hey, you ever been with you? Well, it's like talking about just sexual history and stuff like that. That's when that stuff comes back at you, right? It just so happens that in some places, men are not held to the same standard as women. The man that screws a lot of women is a player? He's something. And the woman that does it, she's a whore, right? Socially, anyway, that's the thing they say. Even though they say both of them are whores, we know that technically both are whoring. But a lot of the circles, they got it. That he's he's a player. He's like, oh yeah, he's the womanizer. The woman is like, she's low light. Anyway, but is that a characteristic that you want to have? I don't know. Having an affair to exert or express autonomy sounds like a lame excuse for not having control over your body or being disloyal, betraying your oath or pledge of fidelity. At least there are emotions involved in a love affair. If you measure your power by expressing sexual autonomy or freedom, prostitutes are very powerful women, or any loose woman. So the more sex you have, the more powerful you are. I don't get that. There's a lot of poor people out here having sex. I don't get that at all. That's all in your head. As far as feeling valued, you don't have to have sex to be valued. You don't have sex with people who value you unless you need to be or feel valued or desired sexually. And that's your objective, to be sexually valued, meaning like you just want somebody all over you. He calling you up like, yo, baby, what's up? Every day, you want this guy trying to pull your pants off or something, because you're not getting it like that at home, I guess, because the dude is out working trying to make a home. So you got to be patient. Got to know who you are when you get married. If you want to express or experience other relationships, be initially honest and open with your sexuality and desire for multiple partners by not professing to be monogamous. That's don't get married. There is no deception, just an opportunity for someone to accept or reject engaging in a relationship with you. Fact is, you will never know if your person of interest has been cheating unless they tell you, someone else tells you, or you catch them. It is not always an easy thing to detect. What age are women most likely to have affairs? A survey of 2,000 female members between July and September 2019 found that, on average, women in the United States had an affair 7.2 years into their marriage. Of the 2,000, right? So you might have got 2,000 other women that had no affair until maybe 10 years, 20 years. Who knows? I don't know. But this survey, right, says 7.2 years into the marriage, right? And they said, according to the Population Reference Bureau, between 2015 and 2019, the median age at first marriage for women was 28, up from 26.3 years old in 2006, 2010. So that means women were having affairs in their mid-30s and up. All right? That's before she loses her look. So mid-30s, she's still looking good, right? Some of them, right? But there's no age limit to infidelity. They found that women all ages are deciding to have affairs. Women in their 20s who might be engaged or just have started to live with a partner, to women in their 80s, their 20s, their 80s. Infidelity rules. Notice. Let me see. They notice that women approaching or turning 40 are taking stock of their partner and life and wondering. That sounds like a midlife crisis. How many good years do I have left? Good years for what? Every year above the earth is a good year, unless you have some really bad stuff happening to you. And it's still better than not being this side of the earth. Anyway, for women who are already feeling dissatisfied with certain aspects of their relationship, this reflection can lead them to either seek out an affair or continue engaging in one. All right, because they're talking about the good years, like, wow. That's interesting right there. So that sounds like, hey, they settled for somebody and want to know, you know, hey, I'm giving all this to this dude right here. I'm not satisfied with it. What? You know, they want to know what it's like to be back on the block. They go back on the block. Start smashing. How do women and women approach affairs differently? Researchers believe that there's a biological component to the differences, as men are wired to try to reproduce with as many partners as possible, while women are evolutionarily rewarded for being more discerning when choosing a mate. That makes me think this is old right here. I don't know when they did this. In the past, there has been look the other way message if your husband goes on a business trip and has a one-night stand. But as women continue to challenge convention in numerous facets of life, earning their own money, advancing their careers, pursuing higher education, they are also stepping out on their relationships in a way that's been typically reserved for men. Now, what women are really saying is, I long for more than that. That is my option, and I will pursue it. That is also where empowerment affair comes into play. So somebody need to educate me on how you get empowered by smashing. Because I'm going to admit that I can't fathom that, the power you're getting from smashing somebody. Another woman, what's this lady? What's her name? Pizza? Somebody? It found it was a research reported that they found that plenty of women who wanted to have unemotional sex or sex with a younger partner. I do not think that there's any difference in desire and passion between a woman and a man. Now, yeah, that's updated right there. See, that's different than the other one. They saying, because I had women sit down and tell me that, guys are just not the players that they think they are. I'm no expert, but that seems right, right? So it's no difference in desire and passion between a woman and a man. So they got women, they're trying to smash them young boys. So they get a little older, they want to smash a young boy. The guy get a little older, he want to smash a young girl. So I guess all this stuff being done in the United States, because we got anything goes here almost. Almost anything goes, except for pedophilia, and that's probably on its way next. What changed in recently? Some interesting trends. Number one, women's they spoke with don't seem to regret their affairs, right? Some do express remorse about deceiving his spouse or partner, right? All right? 75% of respondents were having less sex or no sex with their partners during lockdowns, right? They're trying to say COVID caused people to start having sex with other people. Decreased status of sexual satisfaction prompted 64% of Ashley Madison's users to have affairs during the pandemic. For women, the emotional toll of the pandemic weighed on their decision to be unfaithful. Assessing their partners and acting upon their feelings. So that means these are things that they were holding in the whole time. The pandemic just brought it out. It's just saying that, you know, like you go to prison, is there any point in you just going to come out in prison? Well, if there's any, seem like if there's any infidelity in you, it's going to come out during the pandemic, as we see right here. If the pandemic can bring it out, that was something that you was going to do anyway. It's just the pandemic brought it out. So, because I don't get that. The women having affairs actually feel better for doing so. They're so happier in their marriages, in the workplace, and their mothers, and as mothers, because they took the time to do this thing for themselves. Okay. Now, I don't know what that means. That's because that sounds like you're happy in your marriage because you're smashing somebody other than your husband. I don't get it. We know it sounds pretty out there to imply that infidelity can have benefits, but for many of the women who, or this lady spoke with, it did. So they felt better in their relationship. They was able to go somewhere, I guess, and relieve some of the sexual energy. So many women have framed this in the form of self-care. They call it self-care. I guess that means I'm not getting it home or getting it right at home, so I got to go outside of the home to get it. I'm not going to try to work it out with my spouse, my husband, or whatever. So why not open up the marriage or get a divorce, they say? Why not pursue an open relationship or just end the marriage, right? Why the infidelity? Well, right, like you talked about, man, they may not have the money to move, or the money together is so great. You know, you got everything working in the marriage except for the sex. So, they figuring, hey, look, I'm going to get this taken care of. Since you can't take care of it, I'm going to go outside and get it taken care of. So maybe that's the thinking. I don't know. It seems like it to me. Let's say many men and women don't want open marriages. Just because they're having relations on the side doesn't necessarily mean that they want to make a drastic change like get divorced, right? A lot of the women that they spoke to don't want out of their marriage. They love their husband. They love their partnership that they have. All right, so I guess y'all know that men don't consider that love. Disloyalty is love. So I don't think women do either. Anyway, why are they married? If you want an open relationship or a divorce, stop wasting anybody's time and money with the big weddings, the monkey suits, the church rental, and the band. Come on, as I said before, why you get married if you got these attitudes like that? Like everybody, you know. From HeywoodHunt.ca, infidelity statistics 2020. So as you can see, it's just a lot of infidelity going on. I want to check to make sure nobody's trying to chime in. Just a lot of infidelity going on, and it kind of speaks to who we are, especially with this person is talking about a marriage. They ain't talking about a relationship like you know, you're talking to somebody. They're talking about a marriage, which I thought was supposed to be between two people. So they said in this report, around 25% of those who marry and around 40% of those in romantic relationships experience at least one incident of cheating. The voice says that a survey published in an issue of Marriage and Divorce says 70% of all Americans get involved in some kind of affair at least once during their marriage. 70%. That's a lot of folk. That's a lot of cheating. These numbers are no doubt shocking. Yeah, that's right. It's scary. Right? It's, damn, how much do a ring cost? How much people spend on a ring? And you see how much it costs to get a divorce. What makes them engage in infidelity? Is infidelity the norm these days? That was my question. What makes them engage in it, right? Infidelity statistics, right? They say that in a recent general social survey, which says that 13% of women and 20% of men admitted to having sex with someone who's not their spouse, right? So we get that, right? We've seen that before, right? They say what's new is that there has been a 40% increase in the number of women cheating. So more women are cheating on their spouses. Sexual dissatisfaction is the main reason why for cheating in most cases, except for those who were cheating online. I don't know what that online thing is about. It said men are 3 times more likely to use dating sites for casual sex than women. Approximately 1 in every 6 people in dating apps are using the app to cheat on their relationships. Okay. So which gender do they say cheats more? The younger respondents are the higher the percentage of women who have cheated. So the younger women cheat more. Men still cheat more than women. A recent data survey by the National Opinion Research Center, but they said the pattern is changing. The younger the respondents are, the higher the percentage of women who have cheated. What ages cheat more? They said for men, this peaks around 51 to 59, with 31% saying they have cheated around this age, although older than 60 is catching up. For women, that might be Viagra, huh? Older than 60, Viagra might be kicking in. For women, older statistics say that they peak at infidelity at 18% between 40 and 49, although now that is shifting to between 50 and 59. Respondents in their 70s and 80s tend to cheat less, but the infidelity rate for men is still 24 to 26%, 18% higher than the numbers for women. All right, so guys just can't get enough, right? As beliefs and religion are factoring, our beliefs and religion are factoring cheating, those who attend church more are less likely to cheat, although no specific religion stands out for faithfulness, right? Get thee to a church, I guess. To hold you, keep your thing together. I guess you got all them people looking at you, and you know, either don't cheat or you real good at hiding it, right? Does family history and background play a role in cheating? 18% of respondents who did not grow up with both parents cheated compared to 13%. That's a 5% difference. No big deal. Who grew up with both parents, right? No big deal, right? Do cheaters tell their partner? A survey conducted in Michigan. 52% of their respondents who cheated came clean with their partner about their cheating. 47.9% admitted to cheating to a person other than their partner. Well, that's what cheating is all about, other than your partner. 47.7% told their partner within a week. Wow, it's fresh. While 26.6% and 25.7% took 6 months or longer to tell. Of those who told their partner about them cheating, 54.5% broke up immediately and 15.6% are still together. See, some people, you know, they work it out. Are divorcees more likely to cheat? The Institute for Family Studies says 40% of those who cheated on their new spouse have been divorced in the past. Only 17% of those who were faithful were separated or divorced. 67% of divorcees who never cheated remarried, while 50% of divorcees with a history of cheating remarried. So infidelity is a thing I guess that's the thing we got going on in the country. Because some places, the punishment for that is severe for both male and female. From the Evolutionary Psychology Journal, 2.9% of those who cheated with their partners were attracted to both sexes equally. Hmm? And may have cheated with same-sex partners. Additionally, 33% of male respondents claimed they would tolerate their female partner cheating with another woman, while only 22% of women declared the same. So 22% of women declared they would tolerate a man cheating with another man. That's interesting right there. Never had that conversation with anybody, but 62.2% of women said they were that they preferred their man to cheat with a woman than a man. Yes, yeah. So like that would be, I would think that would be higher than that. While 76.4% of men said they prefer their woman to cheat on them with another woman. So the man don't want another man, but the woman does not want, most of the women don't want their man to be a homosexual, right? And most men don't want their women to be screwed by another man or make love, whatever you want to put it. Like, sorry about that screwed word. Anyway, is emotional infidelity more common than sexual infidelity? So you show that emotional infidelity can be as dangerous as sexual infidelity. Yeah, I'm going to agree with that because emotions lead to physical things. Sexual infidelity more upsetting than emotional infidelity. You can see that because the man rather his woman not be penetrated by another man. A lot of those guys rather not her not be penetrated by a man, rather see her have sex with a woman. That says a lot right there about how men feel about other men having sex with their women. Take all this into account, but really you got to talk to the person you're with. This is a survey of a certain group of people, and don't take it as the gospel truth, but you can take it for the information that it is provided. 73% of women and 56% of men said they would be very upset to find out that their partner had an emotional affair with someone else. All right, so that's just, I really like somebody else. I just haven't had sex with them yet. We're tight. We do things together when we can. I go to them when I need to talk. You know, just tight with somebody. Y'all doing everything except sex. Emotionally. Just emotionally together. The same as people would be emotionally together in a loving relationship. But you're not. Does one-night stands or long-term cheating happen more? Short-term affairs and one-night stands happen a lot more than long-term affairs. So that's probably why it's hard to catch people because they're just hitting. Bam! Yeah, that might have happened for a month. Time somebody hit is over. Or sporadically, it's not a long-term thing. You know, 10 years and all that stuff. Only 10% of affairs last more than 6 months. 25% last less than a week, and 65% in the first 6 months. All right, so I guess they're getting what they need out of the relationship, and all right, back to reality. I got to get back to my this dude or this woman. Is cheating likely to reoccur? Those who cheated in the past are 3 times more likely to cheat again. Does online infidelity happen more than often? More than offline infidelity, 3% of all cheating women and 8% of all cheating men found their cheating partners online. That online thing, that's something else right there. 90% of those who cheated online started a new affair as soon as their previous online affair is over. Online, that sounds like it's more than online right there. People from what careers cheat more? This is very interesting. Women from the medical and educational fields tend to cheat more than women in other fields. Men from trades and information technology cheat more than men in other fields. Remember, the people are individuals, right? This is a survey. Do people cheat with former lovers? People tend to cheat on a new relationship when they want to get back with their former partner. So keep in mind that there is no specific study for people who cheat on current partner with the next. Do business trips play a role in cheating? Woo! I guess it does, because they've talked about that historically. We did a survey, 8,000 recipients, 57% of women and 62% of men admitted to having when they were away on business. 53% of the men and 27% of the women said the affair was with a coworker. So if it wasn't with the coworker and you went away for business, who were you having sex with? The janitor? Like, or gigolo? Anyway, what are the main reasons for cheating? Men. 44% of men who cheated said they do it because they wanted more sex. 40% of men said they wanted more variety of sex. As for the women, 40% said they cheat out of wanting an emotional connection. I don't get the, if you want an emotional connection, why are you jumping in bed with somebody? 33% said they do it to feel they are still desirable. I mean, they still want me. I asked that question of, do women want to be sexually attractive? Is that a part of their thing, you know, when they get dressed every day? 11% of women say they do it as an act of revenge. Woo, some vicious women out there. Anyway. Some people have sex to fulfill their desire other than sex. If that is the case, they could allow almost anyone to have sex with them. I'm going out on a limb to say they're having sex because they want to have sex, particular person, be they a stranger, relative, friend, or foe. You don't have to have sex to be desirable. You have to have sex if you desire, or it is your objective to have sex or be sexually desirable. In fact, you can be sexually desirable without having sex. We're running out of time, so I'm going to suggest this. Polyamorous, right? Having a sexual or romantic relationship with two or more people at the same time. Being polyamorous, polyamorous, right? Lacks sexual and social emotional commitment, but it does involve doing what you love to do. I don't think it means that you don't like or respect the people you are involved with. It means you don't like them enough to be monogamous. People appear to be behaving this way, but not admitting that they are polyamorous. Could being polyamorous eradicate the concept and pain of cheating because the expectation is not there? I'm just saying. So I'm thinking, since infidelity is grounds for divorce, separation, or termination of a relationship, as Exodus 20:17 says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, the expectation is that you do not cheat, particularly in a marriage. All this cheating tells me that you can expect your mate, spouse, or significant other to cheat. Do not be shocked. It happens. And it really isn't the end of the world. You can bounce back, or you can just bounce. Maybe some relationships are dry runs for marriage, and that is why cheating can have a devastating effect on the relationship. I can see how we might be a little confused, blinded, or blindsided in relationships. If you are not following specific religious ordinances, norms for relationships, put as much effort in selecting your person of choice in a relationship as you put in selecting a pair of sneakers. I don't know if love lasts forever or if it has an expiration date. I know we have an expiration date. All that being said, there is one thing that does ring true. Life is full of complications, but communication is the key. And on that note, I want to end the show. People, do your homework. You know, you got to do your homework before you start entering these relationships. And, you know, we know that all relationships aren't serious relationships, you know. But if you start entering these, especially marriage, living with people and all that stuff, you need to really do your homework before you make such a decision. because your heart was involved in it. Until next week, I want to thank Ball Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, the creator, callers, listeners, downloaders, critics, and like. Just want to thank you guys for tuning into the show. I know it's the holidays, and the people, the last thing they want to do is be sitting up listening to somebody's radio show. But remember, each one reach one, each one teach one, and, you know, if you're serious, be serious. If you're not, don't pretend. Until next week, y'all, peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.